All right, here we are. Lawyer talk off the record and back on the air.
Back on the air.
It's usually just on the air, but today it's back on the air.
Yeah, and couldn't stay away.
I just could not stay away. I needed to talk. I've got this story to tell. And anybody who has looked closely at my anatomy, I'm talking about my hands, right?
Okay. Oh, I thought you were talking about your third nipple or something.
No. You know, it looked for a while, it looked like I had a third nipple because when I was a kid, I played paintball war. And by kid, I mean like 17 or 18. And I got shot. And I was wearing just a t-shirt. And yeah. I actually put a huge welt right next to my nipple.
Yeah.
And I had it healed as a scar. It looked like I had a third nipple.
Did you ever play paintball in the cold?
No.
I always feel like they didn't break in the cold whenever I played paintball. They just bounce off you and bruise you.
You know,
it hurt.
It does hurt.
But oddly enough, I don't have a third nipple, but I do have something that I've asked doctors about that's sort of like a mole-ish looking thing. And that's kind of what they've like, well, it's kind of a portion of a third nipple. I mean, you're telling me I have a third nipple.
So you've been diagnosed.
Not diagnosed. I just asked some cosmetologist. What? Not cosmetologist.
Dermatologist.
Dermatologist.
That
yeah.
would be all right. So you asked a professional.
Yeah.
What that was.
Yeah.
He says third nipple.
There is a suggestion that is a form of third nipple, even though you don't have a full blown third nipple.
That's a diagnosis,
I guess. I mean,
look, if you go to your buddy,
but since we decided to make this an anatomy edition,
right? At the swimming party, your
well, no,
buddy's
no,
not qualified to give you that diagnosis. He could say it looks like a third nipple.
Unless I showed you, you wouldn't even notice.
I don't want to see it.
Whip it out here.
I don't think I want to see
for
it
for the viewers.
The view,
you can take a picture and put it on Instagram and Facebook.
We do have Instagram now, right? Ohio Legal Defense.
Yeah, Ohio Legal Defense. That's the one.
The Instagram, I never understood Instagram. And I think I'm starting to get it. It's like
I like it better.
It's a short form Facebook.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't feel like there's as much, there's like debates that go on Facebook. You can still debate, I guess, on Instagram, but it's kind of hidden because it's more like you looking at a picture with a little comment. And then people can write things below. But I feel like on Facebook, it's just there. Like if somebody says something glaring, and when you're looking at the picture, you can already see somebody responded in sort of like an aggressive manner. And you're like, what the heck's going on here?
It has become Facebook. I just had this talk with.
It's a life destroyer, man.
There was a juvenile. I'm not even going to give the gender. But the juvenile I met with a while ago was in the office because the individual had sent pictures, nudes. Or receive nudes from the respective significant other.
Okay.
And had them on the phone. And
wait a minute. So they received naked pictures and had them on the phone while they were in the office?
No. The gig had been up.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, so they have them. They're all,
they were
all stored.
They were caught. Yeah, they got caught.
He didn't do the delete. He kept them. Or she, whatever.
It was a he or a she kept them. And shared them with others. And then it turned into this sort of chastising response to the significant other.
Okay.
And maybe I've given up too much. Now the gender might be obvious.
Are we talking about dick pics here? Or what are we doing?
I don't know. Anyway. But it ended up in this, you know, mom and dad were there. It's like there was this, and I've had this talk with a lot of kids recently in the last couple of years, because Facebook, as I read this stuff now, it is just, it's almost appalling at times. People are just like their thought and then they send it out to the world.
Yeah.
Fishing for likes.
Yeah.
Fishing for thumbs up or happies or sads or whatever. And it is, you know, it's funny. I'm no stranger to the fact that I have been to a psychologist, a shrink before.
Yeah.
And I received in that basically this sort of manual. Yeah, it's like a handout. And it talked about just sort of what I call now. This is my psych 101.
I got the same handout. I'll step into the light with you.
Yeah. So it's turned into this. I called it my psych 101 because it's so painfully obvious what's on that. I could probably pull it out. It's probably in one of my drawers. It's so painfully obvious what's in that manual. And it's like, all right. why, what do you need as a basic human to be happy? What are our needs? Just basic human needs. And what are our wants? And sort of separating the two. And then how do you take care of your needs yourself?
Yeah.
Instead of relying on others else. To yeah. take care of your needs.
Yeah.
And if you take that to the extreme, or not even the extreme, just taking a step further. If I am relying on Jeffrey, it's A, right?
Yeah.
Jeffrey Albert Lynn.
Yeah.
To make me happy, then that works until it doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're like the jokester of the group, and every time I come in here and you make me happy. Well, what if I come in here and I'm like, man, I can't wait to see Jeff today. He's going to make me happy. He's going to tell those funny jokes. He's going to do that stuff, or he's going to take care of this for me, or he's going to do that. And then you're not here anymore.
Yeah.
There's this chasm of darkness that used to be my perception, erroneous perception, albeit, of happiness. So,
well, of course, that was what would happen around here.
Yeah, the whole world would tank.
Yeah.
You were crucial to the happiness of the office. But you see this all the time with like people with their spouses or their girlfriends or whatever it is. And we see this in these domestic violence type cases where they just can't stop the chaos.
Right.
And when they're separated or when somebody's unhappy, they just can't deal with it. They're so dependent upon others to be happy. So I was looking at Facebook in this day and age, and people just put stuff out there.
Yeah.
So other people will like it.
Yeah.
And it's like,
oh, how many likes did I get?
I feel crappy today. I'm just going to put a picture of myself out there, and I'm going to set the alarm on my phone. So every time somebody hits click, like, or I get a thumbs up or a prayers or tears or whatever it is for you, then that will sort of juice my happiness.
But it's only positive
stuff. Make me
feel
better.
You know what I mean? I guess people post bad stuff too, but it's almost like you're trying to create this mask of who you really are. I'm not saying people aren't honest on Facebook, but
no, I think
like,
they are. Yeah.
But, I mean, people are, but there's also this like, you know, oh, my wife and I, we always go to dinner every Friday. I don't know anybody that does this, but let's say that they post that and they post themselves every Friday at going out to dinner. It's like, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You know what I mean? You just post it like, wow, their relationship's so great. Why can't my relationship be better? I think that's right. How people perceive it.
And if you look, so I sort of divide the adults and the kids into separate categories. And I don't know where that line is drawn, but you know, the adults, I'm watching this happen and not, maybe not, who knows, maybe the adult kid distinction doesn't mean anything, but I'm watching this happen where I can see it. It's like somebody's having a crappy day. So, or something bad has happened to them. So they put a description or maybe just a sad picture of themselves or maybe, you know, the quintessential Facebook duck picture, you know, a little puckered up picture.
Whatever. Oh, yeah, the selfie, man.
The selfie.
Yeah.
And then they just start collecting all the happiness, right? start collecting
Make
the external happiness.
I've been guilty of it.
I have too. We've all done it.
Yeah.
And then you sort of – but it's not lost on me when I'm doing that. It's like, boy, what if somebody just said, you look like a freaking moron? Look at that picture. Yeah. You look horrible.
Yeah.
What a boy. Why would you put that out? You know, it's like nobody's saying that, and you're not sending it out to the people who would say that.
I guess some people would.
And then when you do get those things, it's like, man, I can't believe that guy said that. I can't believe, look, if you're going to troll around this thing and you're going to do that, but I just, and this conversation.
Depends on who you are.
This conversation came up in the context of this, of talking to this kid. And I'm just like, you invited them into your world. It's like you invited the whole world into this little bubble of who you are, and now you're pissed off at what they're saying about it, and people get so worked up.
Yeah.
That you know, and we see it all the time. Maybe this is in the context of criminal defense. I've got dozens of cases right now where Facebook, Instagram, or all these other things are relevant.
Yeah.
Because people are commenting, the other family is commenting, or the other victim's family, or this alleged thing is happening. And we have clients who get so obsessed with what's being said out there that it almost is indicative of why they're in our office in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like this sort of externalizing of your world and then getting upset by people's opinions of it.
Yeah.
And imagine, so, you know, the shrink would say, don't do that.
Yeah.
If you have to do that, then you can't make yourself happy.
Right.
And it's such a simple, I have tried to have this talk with my kids. I don't know if they quite get it yet, but it's like, it's such a simple equation. If you're relying on some other person let alone some freaking stranger on Facebook or partial stranger on Facebook.
Yeah.
For some input to make you happy. Like, think of the catastrophic feelings when that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, if you'd never learned how to do that, and this is what is interesting. This juvenile sent these pictures back and forth, and they were engaging, and everybody is. A lot of people, not everybody, a lot of juveniles are doing this.
Yeah, scary stuff.
In this day, and they don't even realize that it's crazy to send.
I'm banging my cup here.
Yeah, you're banging the cup.
Trying to drink some coffee. Let's not talk about it. It's not crazy. We've all been 16, 17 years old. We just didn't have the capacity.
Oh, no. Here's where I disagree. Have you ever been to a drinking party in high school?
Yeah.
Right. I've been to drinking parties in high school.
I've not been to a bunch, but I can think of one or two I went to.
I can think of maybe one time where somebody took a picture.
I didn't hit my stride until college.
No, I went to many, many drinking parties in high school, whether I was imbibing, partaking, or not, probably imbibing. If somebody had a camera, and there was always the faction of people that had a freaking camera. And that was right at the sort of the advent of...
I didn't think like this. You thought like this back then.
Yes, I thought like this.
I definitely didn't think like this. I know there's pictures floating around of me that probably exist in one of my buddies, old
maybe
books.
Maybe it's generational. I don't know. But that was the advent of like the two-hour photos or the one-hour photo stuff. You could just go drop stuff off. Usually in like outside grocery stores, you'd have like a little sort of independent...
Yeah.
Standalone hut where you could go drop your pictures and get them made, or the drugstores would do it, or court camera, whatever it is. So you could have this instant evidence of illegal activity. And I remember cameras being there. It's like, I'd be ready to throw down, man. It's like, what are you thinking? We're all 16, 17 years old, and there are 20 cases of Budweiser here.
Yeah.
And dancing girls, right? What are you doing? Yeah. You don't take pictures of this crap. Yeah. They're like, well, we're not going to share with anybody. I was like, who's going to freaking develop it? It's like, you got to share. This isn't like selfie world. Or, digital, happy, immediate world. And
that stuff's everywhere.
And people used to get in trouble all the time. Like, you know what people do? They do their fake ID. They do the board. Or they do the cardboard or the poster board. And they draw a picture and stand behind it with a big smile.
Yeah.
And fake. And then they'd send it off to get it developed. And he'd get caught.
That happened?
That's happened.
Oh, did you have a fake ID when you were younger?
I'm going to take the fifth. Is it statute of limitations right now? I had a buddy in college whose driver's license picture happened to look a little bit like me. So
there you go.
I was able to use
that. I think everybody has a friend like that. Yeah.
Looking back, it probably looked nothing like me. But through the goggles of really, really wanting to go out to
the
bars.
I had an acquaintance. I won't even call him a friend. I'm not trying to out anybody. But I had somebody that this was a license from another state. But nowadays in Ohio, they have it horizontal and vertical. So we, as adults, have a normal horizontal license.
Yep.
Vertical is the, underager, right? Is it 18 or 21?
To do what?
To have it flipped back to normal. I think it's under 21.
It might be 21.
Because you don't want to walk and show. Yeah. But back then, the licenses all looked the same. And he literally was able to modify his date of birth with a knife and a red pen. And it looked good. Yeah. Perfect. So not only did he commit the crime of underage drinking, not only commit the crime of possessing a fake ID, which we see from time to time. Now he's like defaced a government document, which I don't even know what kind of crime that is.
That's the crime like in college that's really serious that nobody really understands. I don't even know what that crime is now. I'm a lawyer. I do criminal
defense. That's probably a federal crime, like a mail thing.
That's a federal offense, man.
Yeah.
You defaced a public document. It's like, I don't even know that's true.
Yeah.
But the idea nowadays is that they're just documenting everything. Everything's documented.
How many clients have we had where there's like a marijuana case? We go on their Facebook and they're doing bong hits.
They're doing bong hits. It's like lunacy.
What the heck is going on?
Well, I got to talking to this individual, this juvenile, and many that I have, right? The nude pics getting sent back and forth is a crime, even if you're a juvenile. It's possession and dissemination of child pornography.
Yeah,
and it has a consequence. And if you do it enough in the wrong place, and your conduct gets really bad, they can even put you on a sex offender list. I mean, it's like nobody thinks about that as the consequence when they're sitting in taking the selfie with a duck face and sending it to the boyfriend or taking the dick pic and sending it to the girlfriend.
We had DARE when I was a kid, and I don't know why they haven't created something in the high schools to explain this is a huge problem.
Well, I think they are. I think there was a prosecutor that went to the Upper Arlington schools in the last couple of months and gave a talk. But I don't think it works. It doesn't work any more than telling a kid not to, you know, don't eat this or don't do it. You know, they just you're going to do it until you get burned. And the problem is it's become so ingrained that I think it sounds like this. It sounds to maybe children or juveniles now like sort of aging, passe adult ridiculousness. You know, they look at this like, oh, you're just adult. You don't understand. My kids have actually said this to me. You understand, Dad. You didn't have phones like this when you were a kid. You don't understand that this is just what we do. This is how we entertain ourselves.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I freaking get it. You want to stare at a screen. You don't want to do anything else. I mean, I know exactly what they, but they don't think that we do.
Yeah. What do you think it's like? I mean, they had DARE, but they still have people drinking and using drugs. Do you think by them talking about it and emphasizing it so much that it becomes taboo? And then people want to do it and say, we're breaking the rules, but nobody will know because it's just between me and my girlfriend. But then one of them says, you can't wait till you see my girl naked. Here you go. And now you've.
Well, it's the classic.
Now you've let it out of the bag.
The cheerleader sends it to the boyfriend on the football. I've had this case. So I don't mean to put the spotlight on cheerleaders or football players, but I've had this case. Cheerleader sent it to the boyfriend on the football team. Football team starts sharing around the locker room. Hey, send that to me. Would you text that to me? And next thing you know. Everybody's got it.
Everybody's. Yeah.
And they're just dragging everybody into court and dealing with it. But as I talk to these kids about it, they look like I'm cross-eyed.
Yeah.
When I'm saying, all right, let me just check your account. They look at – they're not Facebookers. That's all old hat to them. They're Instagrammers and Snapchatters and everything else.
Oh, yeah. Snapchats have come up a lot.
But they all send out these signals to everybody else wanting happiness in return. Wanting their little dose, these little tiny doses of likes, agreements, or commiseration, or whatever it is, in return, and they are externalizing their happiness in ways that I think are resulting in bigger problems once they get to college or elsewhere. But you know, back to the juvenile psychology. But I just see it all the time. I mean, these kids are sad, so they start sending the stuff out, and they want their likes and they want their happiness, and then. It's become so ingrained in the culture that I'm just going to share a picture of my penis to you.
Yeah.
Or my vagina to you.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we're in such love at 17.
Yeah.
That I trust you not to show anybody else. Right?
Here's a picture of my 3-piece set. Here we go.
Here we go. Right. It's like, it's, if you look at it, it's so absurd. And then I see the adults do it on Facebook. Same stuff. I mean, they're not sending – adults probably send pictures of themselves all the time.
But Facebook is just – I mean, I can think of two examples and just people I know that this has happened to. So, for instance, I don't even care. My mom apparently knows somebody. I don't know who they are. But she had naked pictures of herself that I think she was sending to a boyfriend. Now, these are adults, but she accidentally posts them to Facebook. So she had him in her phone or whatever. She was doing clicks on things and somehow they got posted and literally everyone on her friend list. What do you got? You got chicken nuggets here or something?
Yeah, no, these are, this is my lunch right there.
Are those meatballs?
Those are turkey meatballs.
Look at you, man. A little protein power in the middle of this mess. Mm-hmm. So anyway, she finds herself, she now, because she's on Facebook so much and she's sharing these naked pictures of herself. Now they've been, because technology is what it is, they've been now disseminated to everybody on Facebook. I got one better though.
That's pretty cool. Hold on. We explore. Can you imagine? You think you're sending naked pics or you think you're posting something on Facebook and it's you nude.
It's crazy. Yeah. And my mom felt so bad for her and I couldn't stop laughing.
I mean, Facebook's got
to explain it to me. I'm just like, oh my God. Oh, I'm sure. But there's got to be a moment in time where, you know, if I post one, it's on that roll. It's on that list of, hey, this is what's coming up. These are the
people
posted.
You see the little one next to it real quick. Somebody liked it.
Whoa.
Like, ooh,
throw that
hot.
One, throw that one a heart.
Like now they throw have a little smiley or the emoticons, little smiley faces.
Yeah.
Ooh, like that.
Yeah. So that happened. But one that actually resulted in criminal activity was somebody that we know who's a lawyer represented a person that she was mad because a neighbor let their kids run around outside and play water fights or whatever naked. So she'd see these young children, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, running around naked. And what she did was she posted them running away with their bare bottoms and said, look at this crap. My freaking neighbors don't even put clothes on their kids, and posted it to Facebook. And somehow that got back to a prosecutor's office and it was enough to charge them with some misdemeanor level offense.
Oh, see, we need to go back to the heart of this. This is what I'm talking about. why? What's the psychology
of wanting people to know things like that?
Of posting that and saying, look what my neighbor's doing. So this person is external. She just wants agreement from people for what? I mean, look, you can just say, look, this is a bunch of BS. Go to the neighbor, knock on a door and say, look, I prefer you not let your kids run around with their moon hanging out. Right. It's like, instead, I'm going to put it up on Facebook, this sort of ostensibly anonymous thing, and get the world to agree with me. And then I'll feel better about that opinion.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think what we did before that.
We didn't do that crap.
Well, you think there was inherently in our
gossip? It's the barbershop.
Okay. There you go. The water cooler.
Yeah. Barbershop. Yeah. But the impact was not nearly as significant.
No, not at all.
And you had other outlets, or you didn't always have those outlets, I don't think. I mean, I think we all still do. We all look for people who will agree with our opinions on it to try to rationalize our thought, or maybe not even rationalize, not the right word, but in the process of determining what we believe about something, I think it would be healthy and normal to share and have discourse with others about that.
Yeah.
And get different opinions. I think all too often, though, people tell it in a jaded way just to get agreement and say, see, so-and-so agrees with me, too.
Yeah.
And now that's done on this massive scale.
Right.
On Facebook.
Absolutely.
Where it's like, why? What purpose does that serve? And it's like, you know, I had this horrible day. Life is bad. You know, I got a flat tire and blah, 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 blah. And you post it.
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, it's like, I get why people do it, but it's like
I don't know.
What are they looking for? Oh, you know, chin up, you know, it's like,
I don't know. Maybe it's the equivalent of a diary that's available to the public. So people used to write in diaries about their day, get their thoughts out. That can be very therapeutic. Maybe this is the next level of a diary that now people can file.
Hold on. Time out. A diary,
I understand.
By its very definition, is private. That is doing correct way. This is taking a diary and turning it into diarrhea. That's what's happening. You have taken a diary and eliminated the one thing that made it soulful, healthy, and therapeutic. The inward perspective notion of a diary is that you get it on paper and it helps you evaluate yourself and what's right and what's wrong. It's very healthy and therapeutic. And then instead of – like, so you did the diary, then you just gave it to everybody else and let them tell you what it was. And
what if you're able to do a diary and then get a response?
It's not a diary then.
Okay. So it's a blog.
Yeah. Or I don't even know. I don't know what it is. It's Facebook. That's what it is. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. People should or shouldn't do that. But
I'm not defending it. But it's weird that we've gone to this because my kids are the same way. It's like – I'm guilty of it. It's like I've used Facebook. I use Instagram. I use those things. And sometimes I'm looking around at myself and I'm like, wait a minute. My wife's on something over there, probably the same thing. I'm on something. And my kids are on some iPad. It's like that is the society we live in. And I've talked about it before. We're trying at our house to do. And you do no-pad Sundays.
I do no-screen Sundays. You ever tried?
Are your kids on Facebook? Yeah. Because your youngest added me on Instagram.
He's on Instagram. It drives me nuts. Everything I look, I mean, he's got like pictures of, I mean, they're like abstracts. I don't know what it is. Like he's in the gym and it's like, look at this half a basketball. You know, it's like, I don't understand it. But
well, that's artistic.
That's what I'll justify it as art.
There you go.
It worries me that maybe it's okay to dilly-dally in it a little bit. I look at Facebook. I look at those things as a way to maybe share part of your life with those you care about. And it's a good platform to do it.
Yeah.
If I got buddies in college and I want to keep up with them, Facebook is awesome because I don't even have to talk to them. Maybe that's not so good, but I don't even have to talk to them. I can just say, all right, so-and-so is out there still out in Colorado. Cool.
Yeah.
But when I start to use it to boost my self-esteem, then I think we run into problems.
Yeah.
I think that's where it becomes – and I think that line is so fine. It's sort of like the pitcher plant with alcohol, right? It's like you slip down into that plant so far, you don't even know what's happened.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, man, I had a rough day. I'm going to put that on Facebook. Tough day. Going home. Going to hang out and just cuddle up with a book.
Yeah.
Why am I telling the world that?
I don't know. Is it bad?
What am I looking for?
Is it bad?
I don't. I guess it's only bad if you want the motive. I mean, do my friends really give a crap that I'm cuddled up with a book on a couch on a Friday?
I guess they should, or they're not your friends, right?
Well, that's how it leads.
Yeah,
that's how it leads. Now, I've heard you say this. or you get in a, there's a family squabble or something else going on, and you hear the word Facebook, you're like, I'm not talking about it.
Oh man, I tell you what. Yeah, totally.
And it's
totally.
Like, I, there's what a,
my quote is, are we talking about a Facebook problem? Because I don't want to talk about a Facebook problem.
There's no such thing, right? Yeah. It doesn't.
It's like we have had Facebook, not to out too many people, but I have had in my own personal life things being posted on Facebook opinions or otherwise that upset people in my family. Just happens. Probably happens to everybody.
Sure.
But there is nothing when you're already in the depths of a problem trying to fix it. There's nothing more frustrating than me to me when I hear, oh, where did this start? This started on Facebook. I'm just like, oh my gosh.
We're actually in a squabble about Facebook, right?
It's like, oh.
It is. It's endemic and it's getting worse. Yeah. It's just getting
plus
worse.
With the stuff you put out there. It's just like, well, let's just go to what's a big debate? Trump. If we're debating Trump, it's like, I can't tell you the amount of even friends that I see that are, I know are friends, but they're going back and forth. I mean, they're connected on Facebook. They're going back and forth and back and forth about,
and
you know,
it gets
their opinions.
Brutal.
It's below the belt sometimes. Yeah.
And it's, I guess it's easy to be below the belt. And I get people, it's like, I have people that are friends of mine that will post something politically that I don't agree with, but they will post it in a way that they're basically saying, you're an asshole. I never want to talk to you again. If you believe in this and this and this, you're just stupid.
Right.
I never want to talk to you again.
Right.
And I'm looking at this and I'm like, I wonder if that guy, because in some way, whatever he said struck a chord with me. And I'm like, oh, I sort of believe that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder if that guy would look me in the eye at this podcast table and say the same thing.
Yeah.
About something I believe. And it's just so, I don't know.
I really watch what I say. I don't, with anything I do, because I like YouTube too. So I watch a lot of YouTube stuff. I watch people do reviews on things. I get to see a lot of UFC. I'm an Ultimate Fighting fan. So I comment a lot on those. It is amazing to me the people that are just there to just hate. You know what I mean? What's the kids' term? Troll.
Yeah, they're trolling around,
troll
arguing.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. So I don't post negative things very often, but they do. Have you ever seen these posts on Facebook where they say, if you voted for Trump, unfriend me?
Yeah. Well, that's so what
I got all these
about, right?
Friends that they literally give their Facebook clan an ultimatum.
If you don't like guns, then you're an idiot. Or if you like guns and you think and you believe in the Second Amendment, then you're dumb, you're uneducated, and you're a moron.
Yeah.
And I look at this stuff and it's like, it's absurd. What are they trying? What's the goal here?
Yeah.
And I can look, I really don't care where people stand. I never have. Look, believe what you want. I could care less. But then they do stuff like that. Even if I agree with them on whatever issue they're pushing out there, I'm like, well, the bigger problem is not the gun debate. The bigger problem is you're doing this on Facebook
and
you don't even know that that's a problem. Like, what are you trying to get out here? I mean, you think you're going to change my mind by this post? You know?
But then it's enjoyable for me.
Because I love it.
Watching all the arguing.
You just see this. I say, yeah, but so-and-so, yeah. So-and-so. Well, if you really believe this, then maybe we shouldn't be friends ever again. Yeah. It's freaking Facebook.
It's great.
And then we got a client. I got a client right now. And I was talking to my client about this and all bent out of shape about what the world is saying about the case,
yeah,
the Facebook world. And I'm sitting listening to it. And it's not that I'm unsympathetic because I can see the how much it really hurts, but I just got an easy answer, you know, delete Facebook, man.
Oh yeah, you know, sure.
Just delete it.
Or on a bigger scale, it's like, it's hard for me to do it. I mean, if it's people that know me, it's impossible for me to do it, but at some point in your life, you have to take a breath and say, you know what? I'm not going to care what people think. I'm going to go through life being kind to people and being happy. And I'm not going to care if somebody doesn't like me or somebody doesn't agree with me. So be it. It's your opinion.
And, you know, that's back to the original manual that we got.
Right. The happiness manual.
From the shrink. It's like.
From uncle.
You have to be able to assess what you think is right and what you think is wrong. Trust it and act upon it without interference from others. Now, I don't think that listening to others and having discourse and rational debate is bad at all. I think that's great because that helps you assess right from wrong.
Yeah.
But this notion that if everybody else believes and likes what I say, then it'll somehow be better. Or if you don't believe and like what I say, then you must be stupid. And then putting that out there in that way is is just contrary to all notions of human happiness for centuries.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like the Greeks, everybody's figured this out long ago. And now here we are in the most egregious violation of this stuff probably ever.
Right.
And it's happening.
It's just, it scares me where it's going to go. Like my kids are 5 and 2. It's like, what is going to be available to them when they're 18 years old? It's like, do you remember Facebook when it came on? Do you remember MySpace? You remember these pages when they first came
out? MySpace, what? Rock bands now mostly is what I think MySpace does.
I don't even know. But they were so basic. I remember having, because back then you can't just, you know, send it to your email. Like if you wanted a picture of yourself on there, it was this process. I remember like loading a picture on just so I can have a picture that says, this is me.
And it was like this weird little half picture.
Yeah. Other than that, it's just comments and things, people being friends with each other. Now it's Instagram was created to me out of Facebook because it's just pure pictures. You don't have a page, a big detailed page that says, oh, you know, I'm a single white male and I'm this age and I really like books and I really like playing golf and I really like, you know what I mean? It's like, you don't get all that detail who you are. It's just, hey, take a window into my life. These are the things that I do. And here's these thousands of pictures.
Well, we use Facebook here. I have Facebook.
And now videos.
Videos, right.
And now live videos. I can go live on Facebook and podcast. Say, look where I'm at. Oh yeah. And he's freaking podcasting it. But I mean, I think there's a lot of benefit to this stuff. I love podcasts because I feel like they're educational at times.
Because we like it, right?
It's and we like it, but that jumps to the next step. What's going to be next? What is going to be next?
Yeah. And
am I going too loud?
No. I'm just adjusting.
I'm getting a little fired up here.
Fired up. Well, we use Facebook here at the office. Our Yavich and Palmer has a Facebook page. I have a personal Facebook page. And a light bulb came on for me a while back where I sort of realized that it's not healthy for me. Now, if it's healthy for everybody else, so be it. But for me, it's not healthy
for a number of years
to extend my personal world in a like-seeking manner. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So I'm not extending my world out there just to gather a bunch of likes and feel good. And I also felt that if I started sipping that Kool-Aid, it's going to start tasting real good.
Yeah.
Like the more you do it, the more you're going to want it. And I just thought, you know what? That ain't for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay around Facebook.
You didn't like it initially because you were off of it. I was off of it out of law school. I was like, I can't study. I didn't need to get off this thing. So I got off it. I was off it forever, not on it at all. And then you were like, you got to get back on, man.
You got to promote your business here. We use it for business reasons.
But I remember there was a time when you didn't like it because I remember a picture got posted with you and your kids and you were just like, it is imperative that you take that picture down of me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't remember exactly what you're talking about, but I'm still very private, self-conscious at times. I don't, yeah, you know, it's like having everybody I just didn't want to put myself out there like that.
And you never know who's nabbing it up. You never know who's,
but that's not why. It's like people are self-conscious, so they don't want to do it initially. But then when they start doing it, it gets validated by all the, they do like me. Oh, people love that. That's awesome. I'm going to post that again. And like you said, when we started, it's like nobody's doing this with the crappy stuff. My Facebook profile isn't sharing the shitty me. You know, it's like, I'm not sharing. It's like, sometimes at night I grab a stack of Oreos and I just eat those. You know, it's like you're sharing unless you want somebody to hear it.
That's great.
You know, it's like you're sharing the stuff that you want people to use to develop their opinion of you.
Yeah.
And I guess we do that every day walking around too, shaking hands and meeting people. You're not airing it out. But I think what's happened is people are developing their understanding of who you are based only on this fiction without any sort of real exploration. I don't remember what we're talking about here, but I guess
in a
client world, Facebook is quite dangerous.
Yeah. We've talked about the first case where Facebook was involved, right? I think have we told that story before?
I think we did.
Yeah.
We did. But there was the other case that we had. I think, did we talk about the one kid who was smoking pot where we had, they pulled out a Facebook picture. Somebody pulled out a Facebook picture of our client who was accused of smoking pot and denied it. And there he was just pulling tubes.
I've never heard that term before.
I think.
Pulling tubes. What was the term we heard the other day that we both didn't know?
He had made a bong. What did he call it?
A gravity bong.
A gravity bong.
Gravity bong.
But when he described it, it was just like the big graphics bong that people had in college.
Yeah.
It's just like pulling tubes. Same thing.
Pulling tubes.
Or doing, what do we call those things? Like super hits. What do they call those?
A super hit a week?
I don't know. I could see these guys do it. They'd start smoking and it would fill up the whole bong.
Yeah.
There was a name for it. I don't know what they called it. anyway, it,
no, that is crazy. I remember one of my first big trials was a robbery trial, and I'm shaking and I got no idea what I'm doing. I'm right out of law school, and it was just a bad case. But a component of this case, even back then, this was 9-10 years ago, this Facebook was online because they brought in pictures. You know, this was gang related and stuff like that, and gun related, and people are posting, and you see this every day. You see law enforcement using this, you know, people that are involved in gangs and otherwise are posting pictures of themselves holding guns and cash and money.
Yeah.
And waving it around.
And this is throwing up maybe a sign
or wearing clothing that is associated with some gang. Right.
This is a logical extension of the high schooler taking pictures at the drinking party.
Yeah.
It's just lunacy.
I can't blame them, because I guess I could see myself at a party like that taking a picture being like, this is just for me. But I can't see myself, if I was living at 19 years old in this society, saying, I'm going to take a picture of that and then I'm going to post it to Facebook.
Yeah.
For all to see.
And they don't, it's like there's a disconnect, right? It's like, yeah. It's like the people I've talked to who have been driving drunk, there's people I've talked to driving drunk, plastered out of their gourds. They never even thought twice about it. And it's the same kind of thing. It's like there, it was never even a choice. It was going right up on Facebook. Why? Because that's what we do.
Yeah.
It's like waking up and brushing your teeth. You know, they just, let's throw this on Facebook. Forget for a second that we're all 17 years old. We've committed a bunch of crimes, probably felonies too. And we're going to share it with the world. Yeah. And then
I don't know, because it's in me too. It's totally in me. You know my Instagram, when you finally got an Instagram, you're like, well, this is all food. This is pictures of food you cook. It's like, so it's in me too. Like, I've had my wife literally waiting to dig into food because I'm like, oh man, I really plated that nice. I want to take a picture of that.
What so are you
I
can looking put it for when Instagram. You do that? You're looking for people to say, man, you must be a good food plater.
I guess, well, or a good cook or something. I'm looking for some gratification.
You're not showing them the bag of Doritos. Right? It's like, so now the world thinks that you only eat that awesome food.
Well, but I'll take pictures of everything. I mean, I'll...
When's the last time you put the crappy meal that you
had? Okay. So you're saying I got to take a picture of the shit
right.
I eat, too.
It's like, you don't eat that stuff every day.
Let's take a picture of the power bar we had. I don't know. Let's take a picture of those meatballs right there and post that on Instagram.
Because I'm not looking for happiness out of those meatballs other than just to fill my belly. But... You're doing it, right? You're taking a picture.
I'm guilty.
Only like the meals you're proud of, not the ones you're not proud of. Shoot the crap out there sometimes. See what happens.
That's true.
We ought to start doing that.
Yeah.
It's like, look what I did today.
Well, I've seen people do that.
They're doing it for a different reason, though. They're doing it to say, oh, don't, or they're doing
have
it.
You ever seen them crying? Like, yeah. Everything's so happy.
Yeah, and don't worry. Crying don't worry. We're all human. You're going to be just fine. But they're doing it to get those, it's that gratification that it's okay.
Have you seen the nailed it? I can't remember the... What's it called? Picks? Posts? What is it where you slide through and there's all like the models and there's the clothing and there's, what is that called? And there's,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I forget the name of it, but you can basically scroll through kind of like an Instagram and people have recipes and they have clothing and they have sporting events.
Oh, Pinterest.
Pinterest. There you go. Pinterest.
See, I got it.
So there you go. So have you seen the Pinterest nailed it? So what they do is they take a picture of the Pinterest, the like perfect cake that somebody made on Pinterest, and then they try to do it themselves.
Oh yeah, I've seen
it. And it's horrible. Yeah, it just says nailed it.
Nailed it. Right. That's funny.
But that's the stuff you got to. But what are they looking for when they do that? That goes back to if we're going to go to the psychology of it. What is it?
It could be.
Is it humor? They're looking. Hey,
maybe
you're a
they're
funny guy.
Looking to entertain people, and that might be a little bit different.
Yeah.
I guess all entertainers. Look, I play classical guitar, right?
Yeah.
And it's like I'm struggling with this because I get stage fright. So you have to sort of start to think about.
Yeah.
Why you're doing it. Are you, because if you get stage fright, it's really just you're worried about what other people are going to think about your performance.
Sure.
And you have to overcome that in a way that changes the way you think about it. I'm going to share my music, whether they like it or not, that's up to them. But I'm going to share this feeling that I have about this music. And then it would be deemed healthier. And if you took what I'm saying to the extreme about this, then you could say, well, artists would never see, there'd be no room for art in the world. And that's not fair.
Yeah.
So you have to, there's got to be a balance there where why you're doing it and maybe the intent of doing it.
Yeah.
But I just sense that when people are sharing like the bad day experience, they're just looking for a false inflation of
like,
their mood.
Awesome. I got a flat tire on the way home. Great. That kind of thing.
Yeah, I got a flat tire, learned that my son is sick, and then I missed this, and now I'm going to lose my job, and now I'm blah, 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 blah. And then it's like prayers for me, you know? And I'm like, all right, I mean, I get it, but then it's like, if that's what you're relying on to fix these things or to feel better about these things, then it's dangerous. I'm not saying anything about the people who do it. I'm not, but
so
other than
what's
this.
What's the alternative? What, it's, like inward meditation?
Well, that, what'd we do before Facebook?
I don't know. That's why I was kind of come up with an example of it's, something we did before Facebook that's similar to Facebook.
I guess what I'm saying is this. I'm not, and let me be clear.
You know what
I'm
we
not,
did before Facebook that's similar to Facebook? You don't see that much? Well, you still kind of see it. It's like Christmas cards. Stuff like that. My mom would send out a newsletter.
A long newsletter. My parents did too. I don't have any problem with that because you're just telling your friends only. I think that's what Facebook should be. Here's what's going on in the world. Here's what we've done in the last year. Now, obviously, you're not going to share all the crappy stuff, but you're not looking for them. It's like your friends didn't send it back with thumbs up stamp to it. Right? You're awesome, right? It's like it didn't work that way. And I'm not saying anything bad about people who do this stuff. I just think it's a dangerous path psychologically.
Yeah.
To start going down, to need that. And maybe that's the difference. Do you really need it or do you not need it? Or why are you doing it? So it's the intent of the user.
Can you turn off the likes and the hearts and all that crap?
I don't know. Why would you? You want them.
Well, I'm just saying, like maybe
saying,
that's,
I don't want to drink with
maybe
it.
If
drunk.
You want to post and share just your family, then make it so nobody can comment and nobody can make a heart. And it's just there for people to see. And then you're using it in a healthy way.
They got a way to do that.
Yeah, that's what I said.
It's called a text. An email, right?
But then I have to text and email all my friends. On Facebook, I can just blast out a picture of my kids, and then all my friends can see it.
Yeah, I know. I get it. That's the, and that's
and
what
I've
I
heard.
Said.
I've heard like celebrities do that.
From a social media standpoint.
So you just can't even comment.
You just, maybe you can. I mean, so from a social media standpoint, it's a great way to keep in touch with your friends that you would otherwise lose touch. I remember when I first started law school, I was sort of lonely in law school doing my, you know, it's like here you are all alone studying all the time for the first time. And, you know, I had a long distance bill, really high long distance, because I would call buddies like, man, what's going on?
Yeah.
You just sort of miss that being in the dorm and hanging out.
And that was back in the day when you actually had to log on a computer to be on Facebook. Well, mine was. Yours was no Facebook.
That was back in the day where there wasn't Facebook and barely internet.
Yeah. You had the DOS computer, huh?
Yeah, I did DOS computer. It was dial-up land back then.
AOL Instant Messenger, man.
We had Instagram or AOL and Instant Messenger. I remember I did a case as a college kid. He was a kid still at Worcester, and he was telling me the version of the events. And he's like, yeah, then I IM'd my girlfriend, and I did this, and she IM'd me back. And then we started and I listened to it all, and I was like, man, I should probably know what IM means. I was thinking like intramural, he meant instant messenger. I was like, what?
What's the Instagram term? DM?
I don't know.
DM is, I think, direct message.
All right. So the same thing, messaging, right? So now we all know. Now we have text. I didn't do text forever. I remember Yavich. We first got phones that we could text. I had the Envy. It was like this phone that you could fold up, had a keyboard.
Oh, man, the Envy.
And he was down in
Florida.
Was it
like the Razor? Envy would have been way before the Razor.
I love the Envy. You know, the two phones I've loved that I've missed immensely? The StarTAC flip phone.
Yeah.
That sucker, you could hear, it always worked, and the reception was great. And the battery lasted forever. That was a good phone.
I went to that. Remember, I went to that, and I got nothing but
No. I'm talking about the specific model StarTAC.
STAR-TAC.
Verizon.
Is that a company? Oh, it's Verizon.
Verizon had a – no, it's like – it would be like, you know, LG now. A StarTAC flip phone. I forget who made it. And that thing was a beast. I love that phone, and I love the Envy. And the Envy was like, it had a real keyboard. Now we have all these touchscreen keyboards, and I guess we've all gotten used to them. But like the idea of having the real keyboard.
Yeah.
So when I first started texting, I remember Yavich down in Florida, I was texting him. I was giggling like a loon, man. I could send him a message and say, here you go. I could do whatever. It was abused, probably like anything. But I guess I don't have a final sum up for this other than you got to be careful on Facebook, man.
Facebook's, yeah.
You got to be careful. I think there's a. I think here's the sum up. We, and you know what? You know why we're on. You know why we're. We have a lightning rod for this kind of stuff, doing what we do. We see people coming in here, whose problems have been exposed to the world through the criminal justice system.
Yeah.
And it's not to say I don't have problems or you don't have problems, but their problems have been exposed to the world.
It's on Front Street.
Because they're charged with crimes. And then they're stuck having to get to know us and share their problems with us.
Yeah.
And then we get involved and start tinkering around in their pelts and figuring out what the hell's going on. And then but in that process over the years, I've sort of seen things that would land people in trouble.
Yeah.
And this is part of it. It's like giving your self-worth away is one of those roads that can be dangerous, and you end up making a mistake. It's what happens. Like it's a lot of times it's domestic violence, or a lot of times it's alcohol related. Cause then it gets so stressful because you've got no control over your own happiness that you go start drinking or whatever. It's like you just, there's this, I just see these themes over
the
years.
Well, you can see a theme that people rely on it because it was so ingrained in them that, you know, maybe they'll come in for a second appointment or we'll talk before at a pretrial and they'll say, yeah, things are going okay. It's like, I wish people weren't saying what they were saying. It's like they're still signing on there and looking what's being in the media or looking what comments are being made to people associated with alleged victims or whatever it is. You know, if it's domestic violence or maybe an allegation of rape or something serious like that, it's like I have to stop them and say, do you realize that the conversation that we are having, the time you are spending with me, we just now spent 5 minutes and it's being driven by the fact that you care what other people are thinking. You care what other people are saying. You care what's happening on Facebook.
And here's the thing. I'm guilty of it too.
Oh, we I'm totally guilty of it. Taking pictures of my food all left and right on Instagram. Join me.
All guilty of it. And it does. I think it's our human nature to like that kind of stuff, to really sort of be drawn to other people liking what we're doing and agreeing with what we're doing. I mean, I think
we're doing this.
We're very gregarious in that way.
Yeah. That's a good word.
But I think the message to be taken, the message I'm trying to teach myself is just be aware of it.
Yeah.
And once you start slipping, and I did at one point, I started slipping. So I dialed it back and like, all right, what if they don't like this? How's that going to make me feel? The proverbial they being the Facebook world.
Yeah.
What if everybody just says, I don't like it? And that's happened it's probably happened to everybody. You sense something out and you think, man, that's going to get some action. And then it doesn't. It's like, you feel sort of flat.
How come I didn't get thumbs
and
up? I just heard from another lawyer the other day. Hey, what's going on, man? You don't like me anymore? You don't give me any thumbs up? Like, what?
It's like, come
about?
On. And next thing you know, you're a kid sending pictures of your privates to somebody looking for likes. Looking for likes in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to call this.
You can think about it.
Looking for likes in all the wrong places. Looking for likes.
Well, I mean, I think
too many Facebooks.
What song is that?
Looking for love in all the wrong places.
Is that a country song?
I forget who sang that originally. To look that up.
But I mean, I get why it's happening. I mean, think of yourself as a 16-year-old high school student. I mean, the men especially. I can't speak for a girl, but I mean, men especially, you're girl crazy. You know, I remember what I was like in high school. I remember what my buddies were like in high school. It's like, imagine them now putting in your hand this ability to communicate social media, this ability to Snapchat something where you think, oh, well, I can just send it out quick and then it goes away. Or, you know, thinking about these other, you know, having a phone that I can hide from my parents. They don't have to ring the phone and say, is Jeff there? And my mom would always respond, little Jeff or big Jeff? And they don't have to do that. They know it's coming. Some female has now called the house for me. I didn't have a cell phone. It's like now I have a cell phone. I mean, heck, there's 8, 9, 10, even less that have a cell phone.
And this is another sort of dark shadow or dark underside of this problem.
Yeah.
Is that kids' activity can remain underground, meaning away from their parents, and be unexposed and just let to fester.
Yeah.
And left to fester on its own, it can get really bad. It's like bacteria, it just grows.
Yeah.
Or tumors that grow. You can stop it. Like parents would intervene and say, listen, you ain't doing this anymore. But then they can just go, now they don't, parents don't even discover it. And even if they did, they can just get driven further underground and go continue to engage in conversation, engage in activities online or do things online unchecked.
Yeah.
And
a lot of times those, that age child or kid, they know the technology better than their parents.
Well, they do.
They can use it better.
And even more dangerous is the fact, like talking to it when we had the juvenile episode, the parts of their brain that are designed to understand the right and wrong and everything else haven't developed yet. So it just sort of, this can happen and they don't even really know it's wrong. And next thing they know, they're sort of down a path.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the other sort of dark side of the force.
But everything, I mean, with technology, everything's been made. I mean, going back to how you felt when you were in high school, when you were girl crazy, it's like you got a DOS computer, you heard of pornography, maybe you get, you know, able to slide into your, you know, buddy's father's Playboy. I mean, think about it now. I mean, think of what's at your fingertips on that phone. You have a computer in your hand.
I have a computer.
Full-blown computer.
And it stores everything I need. We'll have to do one on my cell phone. This is my modern electronic DNA is in my hand. But
it scares me. For my kid, I mean, your kids are getting to that age, but it's like, what is the world going to be 10 years from now with these things? I mean, look at how the iPhone, from the iPhone 1 to now.
The phone did tell me, however, that Johnny Lee sang that song,
Johnny
Looking
Lee,
for Love.
Is that a country
places.
Singer? Yeah. Country?
Look it up. It's a great song. You age yourself, or maybe I'm aging myself. But
I have no idea who I've never heard of Johnny Lee in a day of my life. You said Johnny Lee walked in right now and said, pick him out for $1 million, I wouldn't be able to do it.
If he started singing that song, you'd know.
Really?
I think you'd know that song.
You got a kind of a singing guitar playing voice.
Eddie Murphy spoofed it. When Buckwheat on Saturday Night Live, he did this Buckwheat skit. Buckwheat sings the classics, and it was like Nook and Pernub. It was hilarious. Eddie Murphy spoofed it. But all right, so no more looking for likes in all the wrong places on Facebook and elsewhere. That is the message from Lawyer Talk off the record, but on the air. No more looking for likes.
No more looking for likes. I get it. I'm guilty. I don't know.
No, we are. We'll or maybe if you're looking for likes.
I mean, considering the fact that I just created an Ohio Legal Defense Instagram yesterday.
We're different.
It's like.
We're different.
So I guess do as we say, not as we do.
Yeah, we're the smartest guys in the world on podcast.
Yeah. And don't forget to get online and like all my stuff and all Ohio Legal Defense stuff.
Like our podcast, subscribe.
maybe a heart here and there.
I'd like to hear the positive feedback too. So, Lawyer Talk, off the record, on the air, like us. Bye-bye.